reach at TonyBasilio.com and leave a tip for our work today, we'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you for our next caller, and let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Raji, what's up, man?
Not much. How about your ball there, buddy?
Awesome win, buddy. Awesome win.
That was great, wasn't it? Yeah, it was so good to see Evans. His name Evans. The singer that scored.
Limited
the
Lou. Limited Lou.
I'm really happy for him that he's able to help Tennessee to get to be shot.
Yeah,
that was really great. See him and the other guy that was a really great win. It's really to come back in the first half tonight, even able to struggle in the first half to be able to struggle and come back in the second half to win.
It was out of nowhere, Raj. I'll say that for that win. Hey, Griff.
Finally.
Hey, Griff, with 14 minutes to go in the game, do you think we were winning that game?
I did not, because they. One thing that we haven't talked about, too, with Coach Avery Johnson, I think he's going to doubt himself. You know, they were playing a blistering man-to-man.
Mm-hmm.
He went zone.
Yeah.
And I know he's going to say he went zone because his big guys were in foul trouble.
Foul trouble,
and
right.
Wanted to save the big guys. But he's
right.
Got enough big guys that you could let a couple foul out and still not really hurt yourself too much. But
I think
he stuck to zone too long. I really do. I think he got away from his strength that allowed Tennessee to get back in the game.
You know, Key sat there with four, Griff, and that limited his minutes. But he still plays 32 in the game. The guy that really hurt him was Taylor, who was real active early, Griff. And he picks up his fourth foul, only plays 14 minutes in the game. And that really limited what Alabama was doing defensively. And you're right, they did alter the way they were defending Tennessee. And credit the Vols. Look, you know, in a way, Griff, going to a zone defense against a team that shot 20% in the first half and at one point today could not throw it in the ocean. As it is, Tennessee finishes 7 for 23 from three-point land, and that's with three or four in a row down the stretch. Think about how bad those numbers would have been.
Wow. That's great. That's really good. They were able to do that. That's a miracle. That's great to see. Good job, Vols. That was really great to win. Finally got able to win the game today. It's really nice to see that Phil Austin, Tennessee had won, Tony. So, it's really great to see, really good to see Tennessee win today. That was really great to see finally get a win. So it was great. And, good job, Tennessee today. And, just wanted to ask y'all, about, the Tennessee won today.
Griff has some good news for you. The good news is Tennessee's either going to play Ole Miss, Georgia, or Vandy Thursday at 1:00. And I think we're going to have a listener watch party because I'm getting back to feeling semi-better and I'm just sick of being around the house.
So that's
a goal. And Griff, tell Raj the good news and the bad news about winning a couple games in the tourney. Griff, what's the good news?
Good news about what now? I'm sorry.
The good news about our tournament.
The good news is the matchups, as far as I think George is the best matchup for us. I think that's the good news. The bad news, I think Vanderbilt's a terrible matchup.
Yes.
I think Ole Miss is the second worst matchup.
Yes.
But once again, when you get into tournament play, anything can happen. So you just never know. And we go back to when George Felton led Georgia back in the day when I think they won 5 games, Tony.
Al DeBarge.
That's exactly right. So, anything can happen. I'm not going to overlook Kentucky playing them in the second round because they may overlook a team like Tennessee.
Bad news.
Yeah.
That was the bad news, Griff. That's what I was going to get you to. So Raj, the winner Thursday of whoever we play. Gets Kentucky in the second round, Raj.
Oh, really? Okay.
You like that, Raj? You want some Kentucky?
Yeah, of course. So hopefully, see what happens. And I just want to ask you too, about Red Ball. Do you think you've done something to give him the way? Do you think you've done something different?
Here's what I think happened.
Okay.
I think they projected a hologram image of John Curry on the wall in 3 days at halftime, and he made an appearance to him. And then Bev Davenport, as somebody just told me, must have come in there and spoke at halftime and lifted the troops. And I think they came to her and she went, Peyton Manning, 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 Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning. Raj, thank you. Love. Let's get our next call in. 865-200-5402 to our next caller. Hello and welcome on the Smart Way Guards, the law firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The bottom line is Tennessee won that game because they played more assertive defensively. They shot the ball a little better in the second half, and they were meant to win that game on senior day, and that's how it happened. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, John Treat, what do you say?
Hey, man, welcome.
Hey, let me maybe point this at Griff, maybe, or both of you guys. Why does Jordan Bone struggle defensively? He's the quickest player on the team. So before you answer, defense on basketball is staying in front of somebody. You know, push them one way or the other. So if he's so quick, is it effort, a lack of it? Some people say, oh, he's not strong enough. Well, that's somebody backing you down. They can't run through you if you're in the way. I mean, I don't get it. I just don't understand. Move your feet.
I think what it is from my perspective is he's just being overpowered. I don't think he's letting people blow by him and, like you said, back him down. I just think that the strength level, that if someone's even driving through the lane, they're able to push him out of the way and get to the basket without him being able to defend aggressively enough as he needs to. So I just think that he's a liability right now with not just his upper body strength, but is his lower body to prevent people from either driving to the basket when they're off the ball, not even just on the ball defense, but off the ball defense.
Right.
I think you see a deficiency there because the off the ball sets up the next pass or the next the next pass for movement, which shows him to be detrimental defensively. And doesn't help the scheme as a team defense. And I just think that when you compare the two, there's really no comparison. You look at Shambari's strength and you look at Bones right now, that which one you would think, has the upper hand. But you bring up a good point. You haven't seen a lot of teams or if any teams this year run what we call a four out and one in, and they're just backing up Bone to the basket and dominate him. You know, one-on-one, we haven't seen that. I think it's just more of the team concept that he's getting beat off the ball and he's not able to block out his man effectively, which if you've watched him really closely with the lower body strength, he's not able to really keep his guy, offensive guy, away from the basket as compared to some other players on UT's team. That's why I have a problem with him defensively.
Yeah,
but I think he will get better.
Yeah. Well, if I can add one thing, I think that one of the biggest fallacies in all sports that you hear people say is that basketball is a non-contact sport. Nothing can be further from the truth. If you don't have the strength and you're as wispy as that kid is, you are going to get shoved all over the basketball court. He's a wispy little thing. He's a skinny little thing. And, you know, look, there have been a lot of little guys who have played the game and have hung in there against the tall trees. Iverson, but the difference is Iverson's strong as an he was strong as an ox and he was quick as a hiccup. So a lot of those little guys that went and ascended to the NBA level, the Spud Webs of the world, I mean, they had wispy qualities about them. They were little guys, but they were guys that were physical people. All those guys were physical people. This kid here's got to get in the weight room, as Mark says. And let me tell you, Tweety, it is a lot more physical than you think it is, because those guys shove, push, grab, and this kid is constantly, I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And he's not the only one, by the way, on this team, because Lamonte Turner is another one. I mean, those guys ought to have road signs on them, because they get, like routes, they get blown, they blow right through those two guys, and that's just the way it's been.
They can't defend, and I don't know, again, and I asked this one show, I think, a long time ago, but I don't know if they're told to funnel those guys right in the middle of the lane, you know what I mean, where the other guys are for help, but I don't know. I don't get that at all. Tony, where are you getting the information that the French guy is a good shooter. I've heard the opposite. I've heard he's a dunker. He's good defensively, but needs to work on a shot. Where are you hearing different than what I'm hearing?
Well, I've just
because I've heard he's not a good shooter.
Yeah, I've seen a couple scouting reports from a couple people that okay. I respect. Let me see if I can dig that up exactly where. And
okay.
And perhaps I'll have to sit stand corrected on that, because to be honest with you, I'm of a mindset with all these guys that you don't know what you have till they get here.
Correct.
And sometimes you don't even know what you have once they're here for a year, and I'm going to use Lamonte Turner as a great example of that, because all I heard in the offseason was how he was the answer.
Yeah.
And if he, and no offense to him, but if he's the answer, what's the question?
Well, this is his second year here is what people also say.
That's my point. Right.
I mean, he's had a year of coaching, year to get stronger, year to get better, and he's where he's at. Now that's fine. I mean, you know, it's a lot to take on, I'm sure. And he had, you know, people say, oh, he had a big offer list, you know, but he's got, well, at least he's got room to grow. Let's put it that way. Hey, before I go, one last question in. The Tommy Bowl used to be more like, I guess, what you see when they play the Elite Eight, where it's like not a lot of depth to the back. I guess the backboard behind the backboard. I'm struggling for the words here, but you know, we used to shoot well, and other teams used to struggle. Now it seems we shoot poorly, and other teams shoot well. You know how those teams go into the Elite Eight and all shoot poorly because the depth behind the backboard isn't the same. What's going on there? Why do we shoot so poor? What are we, 7? You said 7 of 21?
Yeah.
20% from the floor?
Well,
I have a good three-point shooter.
People don't like my solution, but my solution is get better players. Griff, answer that. Griff, answer that question. What do you say about that, about our inability at times? And you know, here's the thing. We avoided today having our fifth home loss of the year. I think we had four home losses coming into today. Griff, that would not have been good to have your fifth home loss and it be Alabama. But what's your solution, Griff, or do you have a theory on why it seems like, I mean, we've been shot out of our building this year by several teams?
I don't think it's perception more than it is just confidence in our shot with the players we have on the court. It's just we have the players that we have. We just need guys to be able to put it in the basket. And unfortunately, very inconsistent this year, and that's why they're 16-15. Unfortunately, I mean, I never really considered perception being a problem with shooters, because when you go into these gyms, if you hear about perception, like you said, Elite Eight, you do get to go in and practice the day before, a couple days before to adjust.
Right.
When you're shooting from 15 feet or 19.9, it's still the same distance. You're not really, as a student athlete, you don't really focus on what's behind the basket. If you do, you've really got a problem. I never personally bought into the perception reality that people bring up. I think that's more fan speak. But because you're used to growing up playing in crappy gyms where there's a brick wall right behind the court, you're used to playing in gyms that didn't even have a net, and you're like, well, the net messed me up. Well, no, they don't, because the ball goes through the hole. Doesn't matter if you got a net or not. So I think it's just what Tony said, is having good shooters. But I think you bring up a good point. But I'd have to say it's just better having better shooters and as far as defensive shooting better than us, that's just a matter of not showing that toughness that Tennessee needs, that they did display the second half.
Quick answer, who's the best shooter on the team?
Now that's a great question. Who's the best shooter, Griff?
For me, I'm not looking at stats at all, but I think the best shooter we have is Jordan Bowden.
There you go.
Wow. Thank you, my friend.
All right, boys, be good.
Yeah, and the book I hear on Bowden, and the reason he wasn't more, shall we say, I don't know what the word is, highly sought after, whatever, is that he's not a guy who can kind of, I guess the term is, get his own shot.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that's probably a fair statement about him. When presented with the opportunity, in rhythm, he's shown the ability to knock it down. Now, he's not the same as he was prior to getting sick, and again, it's a shame those things happen to kind of limit this team down the stretch. But him, Hubs weren't those guys weren't the same. I'm not making excuses. But this team had such a fine line there, Griff, that they could ill afford to have any of these inhibiting factors come into play here, which have occurred. And it has hurt Tennessee's ability to finish games, to win games, to be successful here down the stretch. And at times it's gotten ugly here recently.
Right, and the reason I picked Bowden, and you're right, he may not be a guy that can get his own shot, but I think in a system of basketball, every team, if you scout teams throughout the SEC and country, you have guys that are called standstill shooters, and what makes them effective is you have other people that can drive the basket, like your guards that aren't looking to be a predominant scorer. If they drive and aren't and are guarded, they can kick it out to a standstill shooter like a Hannah's from Arkansas. You know, you can name several guys from the conference, Tony, that are standstill shooters. But I really like Bowden's game as far as being able to hit an open shot. I think he's been very consistent throughout the season when he's not been sick. And I yeah. think he's another one that we don't talk about enough for the role he plays, but I think he's only going to get better as well.
Bright future, guys. Williams has got a really bright future here out of this class. Obviously, Bowden, the local kid, has a really bright future out of this class. John Fulkerson, the kid we saw earlier on in the year, has a really bright future. Vanderbilt, by the way, does come back, and they defeat Florida. In fact, let's look at the SEC.
Wow.
Let's look at the SEC scoreboard. Griff, before we go to the SEC scoreboard, guys with bright futures on this team, I mentioned those three. Bone, I don't know about. I'm not ready to say bright future. I don't think that's... Lamonte Turner, I'm not ready to say bright future. I'm not ready to say bright future about Alexander. Admiral Schofield, I think, can play some really quality basketball for this team next year. I think Shambari Phillips, if given the opportunity, could play some really quality basketball and some meaningful minutes for this basketball team. Who am I missing, Griff? Anybody?
Not that I can think of, but I want to go back to Fulkerson, though. I know people have been raving about Fulkerson.
Yes.
And I like him. I like him in a full-court game.
Yes.
I will say this, that I've watched enough practices and games when he was playing. He's going to have to work on getting his shot over his right shoulder as well. I mean, he's a lefty, likes to go over every shot goes over his left shoulder.
Mm.
Now, when you scout him and the teams are going to scout him, they're going to play him over his left shoulder. So he's going to have to develop a move to his right. Even if he makes a move to his right and still, shoots with his left hand, he's going to really have to work on his half court game. Cause in a full court, he was tremendous. Half court, he played well. But, I mean, he's going to have to really expand his game, and I don't think a lot of people have really talked about that, but he's going to have to work on his whole game and not just going to the left.
Tremendous insight from Mark Griffin, who told you earlier in the year that when he looked at Tennessee's young guards, that eventually people were going to figure out they could bully the balls, and they did. And,
yep.
And I don't think he was giving away any secrets, but in case you're wondering, Griff does coach some. And has a team that's will be starting their season shortly in the travel circuit, and played the game obviously at the collegiate level. Played in Australia, Aussie with the Aussies. Griff, let's go through some scores here. The game we watched today: Tennessee 59-54 over Alabama. Arkansas defeats your Georgia Bulldogs today. Georgia went into today 18-12, 9-8 in the league. They were breathing NCAA-wise. At least they could think they were. They got beat today, Griff, 85-67. Would you please explain that to me by Arkansas? Would you please explain that?
What was the game at home or away for Georgia?
They got beat in the Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Well, it's SEC.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say? I mean, night in, night out. I do think that Georgia is a team on the slide without Mate.
Yep. Your Vanderbilt Commodores, Griff. Looks like Tennessee's going to avoid them in the first round. They defeat your Florida Gators today, Griff. Vandy now 10-8 on the year, 17-14 overall with their season done, with that high strength of schedule, with that pretty good RPI. But they're going to need a couple wins to get in. Make no mistake about it. They're going to need a couple wins in Nashville if they have designs on getting in. Vandy beats Florida today, 73-71. Your boy Cornette today had 24 points, 6 boards, and an assist in that basketball game. Barry today, 13 points, 2 boards, with a block, and shooting his foul shots underhanded at a record clip. If you could shoot like that, Griff, would you shoot your foul shots underhanded?
If I can make them consistently, sure, no, not a problem. You swallow the pride when you look at form. As long as you can have execution, then I don't care how you shoot them.
Auburn putting the finishing touches with 43 seconds left on Missouri, 51-35. Missouri is getting ready to finish the regular season 8-23, 2-16 in the league. Auburn is getting ready to finish the regular season 18-13, 7-11 in the conference. A rather strange year for Auburn. They have yet, under Bruce Pearl, 3 seasons in, Griff, to gain traction. Does that surprise you?
Well, you know, I am surprised, mm-hmm. In a sense that they've not, say, gained traction. I do think the worst is behind with Auburn. I think they only get better with especially the recruiting class they have, and they brought in number 50 Wiley, who still should be playing high school basketball.
Yeah.
So I think there's some good things ahead for Auburn next season.
The deal with Auburn, though, Griff, is that they are a Baba O'Reilly. I mean, it's as far as basketball is concerned, it's a teenage wasteland. And we'd like to congratulate your Missouri Tigers at 7-23 season. I mean, that doesn't just grow on trees. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. On a day where we celebrate Tennessee's victory over Alabama. And tonight, later to come, South Carolina Ole Miss, which may have a bearing on what happens with us. LSU Mississippi State. And then the big one later on tonight, North Carolina and Duke, that Griff is really excited about because he lives in a Carolina household. And I will say that I cheer for Carolina twice each season, Griff.
Well, you better get ready because I think they're my team. When I fill out the brackets, I've got them going all the way. So, and I plan on going to Memphis to watch them in the South region. So there you go.
My dark horse team, Griff. Out of your ACC is Virginia, who I watched today against Pittsburgh, and I don't know how they finished up in that game, but they were really impressive.
Well, they destroyed them.
I tell you what, the kid that played guard here is a, you know, he's like a part-time player for them, but he's a nice player.
Yeah, Thompson from Murfreesboro Blackman.
Nice player. They've got a nice basketball team. The kid with the bun, the guy kid.
The guy, the freshman.
If they get the right draw, that could be a team to watch out of the ACC. Make a nice run because they got a nice backcourt, Griff.
Well, you and I talked about earlier in different shows, Tony, the key to the NCAA tournament, and you're seeing this now in postseason tournament is guard play.
All guard play. Yep.
All guards.
Yep. It's 100% guard play. We'll finish up. Final call today. On your Smart Way Guards, the law firm, Tennessee basketball overtime. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Big R here, Tony.
What's up,
good
brother?
Man, I kind of want to take a little bit of a different angle on the Josh Bone thing. You know, I grew up playing for coaches that defense wins championships. I think it does, but I've never played on a team that won a championship that also didn't play offense. And while I think Barnes has been a great developer of talent, I don't know, and I'm not at practice, I don't know, but how we've handled Bone, the whole situation, it kind of mystifies me. You know, I'm glad you brought up Thompson, because there's a kid, when he was here, much of our fan base was screaming and squalling that he's not athletic enough or he doesn't guard anybody. I don't know if you remember that. But a lot of it is, what are you asking them to do? And I think about it in terms of football. Sometimes I've seen these football teams that they're trying to run offense when they need a running quarterback versus when they got to drop back, you know, he's a guy sitting back or a statue. When I look at Josh Bone, he seems really fast to me vertically. I don't know how quick he is horizontally. He may be, but I've heard Brad Stevens talk about he doesn't understand a lot of the decisions where people have college teams and the point guards are defending from, they're just chasing from half court all the way back to the top of the key. I've heard him call it stupid hustle, especially in the modern game where the referees love to call foul every 30 seconds. And I'm just a little confused by all that, but I don't disagree with what y'all are saying at the same time, but I am just a little bit, I have to question a little bit the decision making, and I guess I'll line up a little bit with what Brad Stevens says.
Let's hang on, stay there, because I want you and Griff to have a conversation here and unpack some of this, because I'm going to tell you something. This is an interesting phone call. Griff, let's peel it back first. You've seen a ton of practice, okay? Bone, the minutes he's played, the way Barnes has handled him, is it open to criticism, do you feel like?
Well, I think anytime someone is not consistently playing at a certain level, you're going to get some criticism from callers, maybe. Staff are going to have lots of communication concerning what's best for the team. And then you look at what's best for Bone. Once again, I want to back up and say that I'm a big fan of Jordan Bone and the intensity he does bring. But I still go back to the school of thought for SEC basketball. If you can't defend, you're not going to play, regardless of if you're a great offensive scorer. Unless you could just shoot the lights out, and let's face it, I wouldn't sit here and say Jordan Bone's the best shooter in the world as far as outside shooter. Now, he had a great game against Vanderbilt, and I think he's got a nice shot, but he's not, you mentioned Allen Iverson. He can't put up shots and make shots like an Allen Iverson. But I just think that right now where he is development-wise, this part of the season, I think that schools have figured him out as far as scouting, that they can bruise and bang him and move him out of position where he's out of position team wise that hurts the team. We don't see a lot of single coverage against him, but I just think he's out of whack when it comes to team defense from the free throw line down, not even from half court to the 3-point line. But I'm talking about when an offense is being run and there's screens being set, passes being made. They're doing this for a reason, to get us out of kilter. And I think that you get Jordan kind of standing there, unfortunately, on several occasions because he's knocked around.
Yeah.
And he's not in position to help this team.
Well,
and that's why I stand by that.
One other thing that are brought up I want to talk to you about, which is this wasted space that happens in college where we see Tennessee guards doing it. Everybody does it. But they pick up fouls in that no man's land, 25, 30 feet from the basket, or you're even out there on a guy when you're constantly getting blown by, which is a great point that he brings up. And,
yes.
you're essentially, you're spending yourself. Now, I'm going to look that up. I wrote that down. Stupid hustle. Brad Stevens, who's done a really nice job with Boston, and here's what Boston's done. They took a limited roster, and they're not great by any great shakes, but the East in the NBA isn't exactly what we call setting the world on fire. But they found the guy at the last pick in the second round, in Isaiah Thomas, who can play, and they've got some hope. And he's a nice young coach. We saw what he can do at Butler. And Big R, you said the term he uses for what happens in the college game.
I want to say, if I remember correctly,
stupid.
He called it stupid hustle.
It's a great word.
The fact that
it's a great
word. The kids are trying hard, but you're putting them out there on an island, and that trend really got big in the 90s, especially, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with it if you have the personnel that can do it.
Right.
But I think there's a couple ways to win games.
Well, how about this?
Syracuse has won a whole lot of games sitting back in a zone.
What it reminds me of, because a lot of coaches won't play a zone defense because they think it's unmanly. I don't know. Maybe when they go to the convention, they go, I think I'm doing a zone defense, guys. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe if you play a zone defense, you always have to buy. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. It reminds me of that old adage that, I remember my dad, when I was a kid, would say to me, why are you doing it that way? And I'd say, because that's the way I want to do it. And he would go, son, one thing, and he was a mushroom farmer, he'd say, one thing you're going to appreciate when you get older is, and you got to hear me here, work smart, not hard. Don't grind yourself into the ground. If you could find a smarter, more efficient way to do something, find a smarter, and they would say to me, have you ever thought about trying that this way? And, of course, I was 14 years old, and I would go, well, no, I know everything. And I would continue to grind myself into the ground where I could have just done. And that kind of reminds me of what you're talking about. Griff, is there some of that that goes on with our on our defending on our floor that R's talking about?
Well, it looks like it has taken place this season, and I'm dumbfounded as well. I think the caller's exactly right. It is not the best place to guard someone, and I don't know if that's being taught or if it's something that the players are doing on their own, because I know from my experience coaching and playing, you never try to go past, you know, a couple steps past the 3-point range in the center of the court, because there's no advantage for you defensively to have a man in the middle of the court. Now, if you're able to get a guy on the left or right side of the court, then you're taking away half the court, and you could force players to the corners, preferably, to get help. But in the middle, you are in that no man's land, and it's no benefit. And if you've got really smart guards, which you saw Alabama, I thought, do very effectively today, they were able to dribble into the defensive player to draw fouls early. And your smart guards are able to do that, that can handle the ball. And I thought Alabama did a really good job of that today. So
yeah.
I think you bring up a valid point. I just don't know if it's coached or not. Usually you don't coach to keep a guy in the middle of the court in the first place. You always try to force to the side.
Yeah.
And if you do have him in the middle, you do want to back off and get help on defense. So I don't understand why a team would put pressure out in that no man land area. I don't understand it. I don't coach that way. I've never been coached that way, and I don't understand a team that does it that way.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree exactly what you're saying, and it kind of reminds me, I guess, just years of being around basketball, pet peeve became the older I've gotten is, we all have our strengths and weaknesses. Anybody that's ever played has them. And, sometimes I wonder, are we playing to our strengths, or are we harping on our kids' weaknesses? I remember Coach Pearl said something one time about, what was the white kid we had from Cincinnati, big bruiser, Childress.
The Chill!
I remember in a post game one time, someone was talking about all that he couldn't do at the SEC level, and I'll never forget this. He said, but I'll tell you what he can do, and he highlighted for about 5 minutes his willingness to get on the floor and rebound. And he said, emotionally, sometimes we just need someone that gets out there. And I kind of jotted that down as he went public about the guy's strengths to educate the fan base. This guy's what this guy can do, and this is what we're asking him to do. And I think with our guards, I don't know if the fans know, and I'm not certain the kids know, what are we really asking them to do?
That's a great question. So, in other words, what are their strengths? What are their capabilities?
You know, there's this idea now that we have scoring point guards.
Right.
You know, in the 90s and 80s, these guys were facilitators. And I look at these kids, and I don't know if they know what are you wanting me to do? I think the development of players has been excellent. But as far as handling the players, I don't know. I guess we're going to find out. Also, you know, the Twitter came along, and that's put a whole other element when you got all the kids' families voicing their opinions. I think there's been some of that, and I kind of wonder if it's a little bit of retaliation, and maybe deservingly so. Who knows? But I love the show, guys, and Mark, you're one of my favorite balls. I loved how you played. You got after it. Appreciate all you do for other kids in the community and around.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Griff, that's an interesting point that he brought. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, because I'll go ahead. I think he does bring up what if people do, and think about your work world.
Yep.
You know, we all have strengths and weaknesses in our work world,
yep.
And we try to focus on what we do well, and you try to build on your weaknesses, but you go with what got you there.
Yep.
And that's what programs mostly do is, and I'm sure that Tennessee has that talk with the players as a team and individually, But what the caller's really talking about as well is what's their role.
Well,
not just their strength, but what's their role with their strength.
Right.
And like today, for example, you look at Shimbari Phillips. I look at his strength as more of a defensive stopper.
Yep.
And I think when the coaches compare him to Quay Parker, when they compare him to Jordan, when they compare him to Lamonte Turner at the point,
right.
they say, here's our guy that can defend the point better than the other three.
Right.
We're going to go with him, even though we're giving up something. Because,
right.
like you said, you can't be strong, you can't be great in everything. You have to give up something. But I think when the coaching staff makes their decision, you just try to minimize your loss.
Well, you know,
and go with go with your biggest strength.
You know what his point reminded me of, and I'm thinking about that work harder, work smart, work harder, whatever. And I'm thinking about you, how you've managed people, and how some people had the misfortune of being managed by me in the past. Because I'm not a manager. That's not me. I'm an artist, and I'm a creative person. I don't belong in charge of people, and I don't like firing people either. I don't have the stomach for it. So, that said, it kind of reminds me of when I watch our guard play. Do they have a job description?
Hmm.
You know, we used to have the saying, and I've heard people say, well, if you want to be a better manager, create a job description and let your employees know what you expect of them. Put it on paper. And this is what, you know, this is what I expect of you. And, you know, when I watch our guard play, it looks like a haphazard collection, for lack of a better term. Now, I know it's not a perfect world, but I'm going back to a thought I had earlier, and I've had it this year several times on here. And it's just an observation during the Barnes era thus far, and that's that from one game to the next, I don't know who's going to play that position. I don't know how many minutes they're going to get. I don't know with what frequency they're going to be yanked from games and what's going to trigger that. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of, what's the word, Griff? What's the word? Form? Purpose to it?
Or execution.
Execution, logic.
Yeah, and maybe I think the coaches have a job description. I just don't know if it's being executed. I don't know if it's being adhered to as far as what the coaches are asking, and I think that's why the team's 16 and 15. Why do you give up 13-point leads to Arkansas,
right.
to Ole Miss, a 19-point
right.
lead to Mississippi State? I mean, we could go on and
right.
on because people aren't meeting that job description per se, as you mentioned.
Joel has a good one for you. When teams screen us in the half court, and obviously this is born through scouting because now everybody's doing it, they know Tennessee has guys that will not fight through screens for the most part, and they switch. And when switches occur, that's exactly what they want to happen. Because now all of a sudden, I've got a matchup that I want. And it's going to, most times, it's going to result in a layup. Can you speak to that, why we don't just fight more through screens and just play more physically? Defensively, because I think that's cost us at times this year.
Well, I think I'm a big fan of switching on screens.
Okay.
I think a lot of it has to do with if you can switch usually 1 through 4, meaning the center is the one that a lot of programs will, at least this is how my program is, we'll screen 1 through 4, we'll mm-hmm. switch 1 through 4, and then the 5 we don't.
Okay.
But with the 1 through 4, because you feel that you can get enough help on the switch that you don't get someone being back down to the block.
Well, I'll tell you what,
it's a matter of helping, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
You have to operate as a team that all 5 are on the same page.
Right.
If you have one guy that's not rotating,
right.
you're beat.
It's like an offensive line.
Everyone has to buy
yeah.
into it.
It's like an offensive
exactly.
line where one guy doesn't do his job, quarterback's getting sacked. One guy doesn't
exactly.
do his job in that situation, or if one guy's not capable, which, again, we're back to this again in terms of just having the quickness or being physical enough, what have you. And believe me, I understand being limited physically because that's the story of my life. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. And we do want to encourage a Tennessee fan listening, 1,000 strong. Hey, get out and down there in Nashville this week. If you can get in there on Thursday at 1 o'clock, Tennessee's going to take on either Ole Miss or Georgia, it looks like now. I'm going to bring the great Tony Jones in here now to close out our festivities. He'll give me some observations.
Hey, Tony, I'm going to have to run as well when you bring in Coach Jones, okay?
Griff, I love you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Tell Coach hello.
All right, you just did. Tony Jones, Que Pasa Migo.
What's up, Tony B? How you doing? Hey, long day at the ranch today. I'm heading out to Howell and Piles to have another evaluation, but I wanted to put my 2 cents in before you go off there.
Go ahead, brother, because I know you've been listening. I know you're out charting, doing your thing, and you are getting your academy off the ground after a great weekend up in Lexington, where you had several teams get to the finals last weekend. Congratulations to you. Tony, give me your thoughts on what we saw today.
Well, I mean, you know, just some, you know, just some poor basketball in the first half, and then, you know, to get down by 16 points, 40-24, and then for, you know, Leston Luke to come up big. I mean, that three that he hit was the starting point of the comeback, and then it was a basketball game, you know, at the 7 minute mark, and then, you know, he hits the two threes late to propel the Volunteers to the win. But you know, Grant Williams played a good game. Obviously, when he missed those few layups and during that portion with about 6 minutes to go,
yeah,
you know, you start thinking, you know, is this going to be indicative of another a disappointing loss? But you know, the team just, you know, give them credit. The team wouldn't be denied.
Yeah.
They made plays when they had to. They got stops when they had to.
Yeah.
And it's a good win for Lou and Robert Hubbs to go out like all seniors should do on their last home game with a victory.
Key moment to me, Tone. It's 4.5 minutes left. Tennessee hadn't scored in four, and after taking a 1 point lead, they went a 4 minute drought. Both teams kept doing that. After one would take a lead, a substantial lead or a couple points or whatever there down the stretch, last 7-8 minutes of the game, and there were two stretches where this happened. But Tennessee hadn't scored. They were in the midst of a drought. Bama had a 5 point lead. They had a breakout. They had a fast break opportunity. And Shamari Phillips makes a tremendous defensive play. A lot of guys, Tone, give up there, and it's a 7 point lead. Or they kick for a three and a secondary break, and it's an 8 point lead, and then the game's over.
Right.
He steals the ball, and then Phillips hits a quick three at the other end. Instead of seven, now what you're looking at with your deficit is two, and it's a completely different basketball game from there. And I think today I give this team a lot of credit, because we talked about how what their mindset was going to be. And to be down 16 and not go to the beach was pretty damn strong of them, I thought,
no
on
question.
Senior day. And it's laudable, because I'm telling you, you told us this, and I don't think many people believe you. I don't know if there's a lot of teams out there, Tone, that would have dug deep and would have wanted to dig deep down 16 that would have wanted to come back and win that game the way the Vols did today.
No question about it. I mean, give a credit to the crowd also.
Yeah.
The crowd was huge. They wouldn't let them quit. And then, you know, it's almost like, and I'm a big boxing fan.
Me too.
You know, so you know about Bernard Hopkins.
Oh,
when
yeah.
He's fighting in Philly. When he's fighting
Philly.
And he's behind. And the guy, giving him the business. But then that crowd just won't let him quit. And then that adrenaline just takes him to the finish line where he gets that knockout or gets that decision. And that's what happened tonight for the Volunteers, getting that decision. An important game so they can garner some momentum going into the SEC tournament, because if they would have lost this game, it would have been like, hey, you know, why even ride down 40 West to go to Nashville?
No question. They dug deep. Dug deep.
Yep.
And you know what? A guy like Lou Evans, who scores his Tennessee high today, and great for him, and hits those two threes late, gets his two teeth compromised earlier in the week with an elbow to the mouth where he gets a foul called on him, only in the Southeastern Conference. You know, Tone, I mean, that kid's been through a lot. And Hubs today, though he is not the Robert Hubs we were used to, gets to go out on senior day, a winner. And as you said the other day, you know, you only get one senior day.
Yep, that's it. Just one.
You know, and so you go out with a win there, it's the way it ought to be. It's the way, and that's kind of what I feel like. You know, look, I look at this team and I say, there are still blemishes there. What's interesting from a coaching standpoint is Shambari Phillips tracked at point guard today and played pretty well. I didn't know he had that in him. Did you, Tone, to play like that?
You know, I knew he, you know, was a combo. But you know what? You throw another good athlete out there, and you throw an athlete out there that's got a little bit more size, than Bone and Lamonte Turner.
Yep.
And you know, hey, Coach Barnes has said, hey, I didn't give these guys opportunities and chances, and look what it's got me. It's got me, you know, in the NIT conversation.
Yeah. Well, and, look, you've been through staff changes, and here's a thing somebody pointed out earlier in the show, which is a great point. And I want to ask you about this, because I'm going to write about it on Monday. The easy thing for Barnes to do would to take Schofield and to take Phillips and say, those are Tindall guys, I'm just washing my hands of them.
Right.
What he's done is he's taken some of his players that he recruited and signed, and those guys are playing over them right now, which I don't know if it's an admission. But it shows, I don't know if it's an admission, I think that's kind of a too strong of a term, but it shows me the man's open-minded and is giving those kids a fair shake, and whoever performs or plays well in practice or whatever the criteria is, certain guys aren't meeting it, certain guys are. I give it Phillips and I give Schofield a lot of credit, Tone, because some people had both of them with a half foot out the door earlier in the season. So kudos to both those guys and to that staff as well. Neither party there gave up on each other. And in a lot of cases, Tone, those guys are already off that team.
Yep, that's exactly right. And, you know, a good call by Coach to especially start Phillips and to give him the opportunity. And he's kind of rewarded him with, you know, that level of confidence. So, we'll see what happens. It's either going to be Ole Miss or Georgia, I understand, in the SEC tournament, the first game.
You got it.
That we'll play.
You got it.
So, either team could beat Tennessee, and Tennessee could beat either team. So it's going to be fun.
And then we get Kentucky on Friday. We're beating the hell out of them. Hey, Tone, on the way out, tell the living listener where you'll be tonight in Halls or Powell if they want to come out and see you, and then who your sponsors are, because it's like a NASCAR. It's like Ricky Bobby.
I appreciate it. I'm out here at 1819 Dry Gap Pike at the Halls and Powell Boys and Girls Club. I got a great evaluation of kids third through the 11th grade, and they out here competing. And then I'm going to be at the Boys and Girls Club at 967 Irwin Street all next week. And it is a great, great, great opportunity for young kids to come out and learn under the auspices of Tony Jones and the Knoxville Basketball Academy, who I'm sponsored by. It's a division of H3 Sports. I'm also sponsored by Roar Sports Drink. It's the progressive sports drink of the modern day athlete, and by the alley, Sports Bar and Grill.
It's unbelievable, Andy Mack.
On Kingston Pike.
Tony, when will you be there? When are you at the over there at Dry Gap? Because I'm over at
I just arrived over. At
okay.
Right
okay.
Now,
cool.
And I'm gonna be over here for the next hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Because I'm getting a walk in right near there. Because I got to stretch my back out today. If I amble, if I limp into that place, Tone, will we share a moment?
Hey, come on over here.
I really would
appreciate it, and you can meet some of my kids, Tony B.
It's going to be
unbelievable. Meet some of my kids over here, man. Come on over.
Tone, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You break at whatever that camp is, and you give me a moment with them, and I'll have them in the palm of my hand like Beverly Davenport, Tone.
All right. I look forward to it, brother.
Take care. Have a Dwight Gooden.
Yeah, you too.
Our volunteers win today. I want to thank everybody that joined us. Congratulations to the Tennessee seniors, winners today. Final count of 59-54. Absolutely great senior day. We are going to have a listener watch party. I'll let you know more about that on Monday. Race fans! Till then, congratulations to the Tennessee seniors for going out winners. Congratulations to the basketball team for not quitting. Congratulations to all who showed up today, all who made the scene. This is a special place. It's been a tumultuous time here. We've been put through a lot by our leadership. I believe that brighter days can be ahead. Let's get there. In the meantime, for all those behind the scenes, I want to thank my friends at Smartway, 8,000 block of Kingston Pike, at 8416 Kingston Pike. Thank you, Mr. Keller and Smartway. Also, Garza Law Firm, GarzaLaw.com online, Marcos Garza. Before you say guilty, you say Garza, and they touch them all. Garza Law Firm does everything, not just the DUI work that they're world-renowned for, and Marcos teaches classes all over the country, but also all other facets and areas of law. They helped me with a situation with an insurance company recently and not wanting to pay a claim on something that happened. And Marcos Garza and his team do incredible, and I mean incredible work. You look, the bottom line is it's us against them. You got to have a guy like him on your side. And I learned that firsthand because it's a messy, messy world out there. In the meantime, for the great Tony Jones, I want to thank him. Today, Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House presented Keith Hatfield's absence. Keith, you get better. And thank you to Clancy's for presenting your absence. The great Mark Griffin today, presented by our friends at Sally Beauty Supply. Griff, thank you. Awesome appearance today by Griff. Yeah. And I'm going to close today's show by asking that age-old question. Dave! Is Dave here? Well, never mind. Anyway, we love you. God bless. And yes, I am a simpleton. Is Dave here? Well, we somehow got through a basketball season. The fun never ends. Did we sit here and just talk about that game for 90 minutes? Wow. How? And it was some excellent high-level conversation today, too. I don't know what I was doing being a part of it all, but it was some pretty excellent high-level conversation. I'm going to come back maybe later tonight and do some picking on the Periscope. In the meantime, I got to get out there in that daylight and enjoy what's left of our day. God bless you, Go Vols. And go Vols.